It's the Mac Attack.
An unusual eruption of anger from Mike Krzyzewski. You see the Cameron Crazies chanting at the pit bench, and then Coach K yelling, shut up, shut up. And he walked across the court as time expired on the first half to tell them they were chanting toward Jeff Capel, he's one of us. He's one of us.
With Brian McKinnell.
Having Alex, in front of me and being able to learn from him, learn how a professional quarterback goes about his business, how he game plans during the week, how he prepares himself each and every day. It gave me a blueprint, and it was something that it helped me out a lot.
On 920 The Game.
Booyah, 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 rocking everywhere. What's up, Vegas? Welcome in here on this Wednesday to the Mac Attack. Coach K, salty at all the wrong people. And to make an apology. Didn't even know he was yelling at his own folks. That's why they call him the Cameron Crazies. Calm down, Coach K. Everything's going to be all right. Your legacy is secure. Relax, guy. Take a pill. Woosah. In through the nose, out through the mouth. All these advices I'm going to be giving you over the next hour. What's up? I am Ryan McKinnell. And joined across the way, you hear the voice.
You hear the giggle.
Not Magnum. Yeah, you hear the giggle, that trademark giggle. Not Magnum. Not Clay Baker. But this time, we borrow another member of our sister station over there on ESPN Las Vegas. He is the producer and sidekick of our pal Tyler Bischoff over there on Technically Correct. He is Jared Justice. Hi, Jared.
Hello. You just keep getting, like, screwed on producers. They keep downgrading
you. Well, I'll tell you what. It's been three this week. Three within the last week. So Magnum, Clay, and you. But at least it's not three in a year, which is, I viewed that the wrong way. We're actually steadily progressing into the abyss. It's actually getting worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
At some point, you're just going to
be a different one every day?
At some point, it's just going to be you alone in a room. And we're not even going to give you lights.
Who's the new girl that we have? Carrie? No, it's not Carrie.
Kim.
Kim.
Yeah.
She'll be next. And then we can just start pulling admins. Like Danielle can come in. Daisy's out there. Daisy, what's up? I don't even know if Daisy likes sports.
It's going to be really sad when the high school interns are your producer and they do as adequate a job as the rest of us.
The interns that are on the traffic report?
Yes.
Have you heard those?
They're delightful.
Each time I hear one of those, I feel like we should preface it and be like, shouldn't we tell Vegas that these are interns doing the traffic report so they know that we don't actually pay people to do those?
No. I like that we have the most adorable sounding traffic in all of the valley.
It is. It's soft. Between me and Cofield and Adam Hill and Grant, I mean, we yell a lot, so it's actually probably better to cut that yelling.
It's just very calming, very calming. Hit and run.
Yes. And it's the pitch it's at, very childlike.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy it. I'm glad that we're already off the rails.
I sent you the rundown today. Clearly, there's no organization here. There's no plan. There's no focus. This is just, let's see how much trouble we can get into. Luckily, we're just two big dumb idiots, but in a half an hour, we're going to be joined by a guy who is not an idiot, Ed Graney, checking in from the Review Journal. He is down there in Miami for Super Bowl 54. And Roger Goodell this morning had a lot to say, including about potential future Super Bowl hopes here in Vegas. Some more information, but we'll let Ed tell that story. Speaking of telling stories, man, before we get into some of the news and the notes of the day, we got some updates on Allen Iverson and Lyft might be dropping their prices by 80%. I'll get into that. That's what we call a tease.
Ooh.
But, man, the stories last night shared by some of the NBA true greats on TNT, I knew it was going to be rough. For those of you that don't know, TNT did a memorial before the TNT game last night, the Tuesday night game, and it was live from Staples Center, an empty Staples Center. And the first thing you see is Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley. And it opened with a beautiful tribute to Kobe Bryant. And then once Shaq started talking.
Yep, I was gone.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I did not cry the entire time any of this happened. I mean, I was emotionally, we talked about it on the air. I mean, Monday was a really bad day, just for sports fans. And it's a bad week. We're still, it's only a couple days removed from this. It's still necessarily not any easier, but I didn't cry. I was emotional. I was shook. I was, when I found out the news at 11:30 on Sunday, like right when it happened, I mean, I was shaking for 15 minutes, but I didn't cry. until Shaq started talking.
Yep.
And I legit cried. Like, first of all, and I'm not laughing at this. I'm laughing at just the absurdity of how emotional it was. Not absurd. How much I'll remember it. Like, I don't cry a lot. I certainly don't cry for people I didn't know. I'm never going to forget that, because to see a man like Shaq, and I'm not going to play the audio because I don't need you driving around the valley crashing into telephone poles and you crying and getting blinded by your tears. I mean, it was heavy. And at one point, Shaq just goes into his life and his regrets and calling people that you need to call and telling people that you need to tell them that you love them. It was, and then to see a guy like Shaq break down, and I mean, he fully broke down. I don't know how they did that last night. I really don't.
I think that was the. I think there's a level of comfort. It is interesting that they added Dwayne to the mix, but I think
he's a part of the crew now, right?
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, the actual, like, those four guys are so, like, interwoven into each other's lives that if the Staples Center had an audience, I don't know if it would have been that truthful, that emotional, but because...
Right, that's why it had to be empty.
Yeah, but because it's empty and you're just there with your, you know, your broadcast brother, you can fully just, like, you can let out that other side of yourself that you normally keep guarded.
Yeah, and they did, and they did. Shaq broke down and shared his thoughts. First time we heard from Shaq, obviously, since the passing of Kobe Bryant outside of a post that he made on Twitter. And another thing that was, like, super eerie, I mean, Charles Barkley didn't talk for, like, 17 minutes. I'm just saying, I mean, not to, like, make a joke, but to just show you the levity and the extreme nature of what last night was, Charles just sat there. Shaq went first. Well, Ernie went first. Then Shaq went. Then Dwayne Wade went. And then finally, you know, a little bit later, Chuck went. But it was just, it was unlike, I think, anything I've ever seen. I made a post on Twitter, and I said that it was the most emotional I had been watching television like that, like a memorial or like a remembrance or a celebration, however you want to call whatever that was last night. It was the most emotional I had been watching television since I was 16 years old and WWE superstar Owen Hart died in the ring on a pay-per-view on a Sunday night. And WWE the next night decided to do a memorial show on Monday Night Raw, their flagship Monday night cable show. And very similar. Very similar from the standpoint that I was 15, 16 at the time. I had never seen Triple H cry. I had never seen The Rock cry, Mick Foley cry. I had never seen these people break character and just lose their minds and just grieve with a fan base. You know what I mean? And that stuck with me. That was 21 years ago. 20 years ago. That has stuck with me from childhood to adulthood. And I'm glad they did it because it was cathartic and it helped us all heal. We felt like we were all in it together. And that's what this Kobe Bryant story feels like. Like, if you're a sports fan, and I've talked about this on my various shows, like, I was not a fan of Kobe Bryant. If anything, he was the enemy. He was the villain. He was the Jordan carbon copy. He wanted to be Jordan, but he was never going to be Jordan. I'm a Bulls fan. He was Lakers. That's as off limits as you get in basketball. Nope. Absolutely not. West Coast, Hollywood, Midwest, you know, blue collar, all the things that go into that. But it doesn't matter because he was a part of my life since I was 13 years old in 1996 until a 36-year-old man, right, in 2020. Riding that out, having those battles, having the talks after the rape accusations in Eagle, Colorado in 2004, and like the way I reacted to that. And I was not positive about Kobe at that time. And I'm still not. I mean, this was beside the point, right? I'm just saying that even a person who was not a fan, in the true sense, respected the hell out of him. He could not. He was a psychotic competitor. Yeah. It was like
levels. Almost to a detriment.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there were moments with him where, like, my respect for him leveled up. Where there were just things that he did where you're like, all right, when he won without Shaq, all right, well, what am I going to say? I mean, even winning, like, the third one with Shaq, it was like, all right, I mean, you three-peated. I mean, what am I going to say? I don't care that it was with Shaq. I mean, you did it. Yeah. I mean, people play with great tandems and they don't get three championships in a row. So there was that. I'll tell you another one. When Barnes tried to fake him out, that was one of the most gangster, cold-blooded things you will see in the history of sports. I've talked about that. In fact, we were doing memories of Kobe on Monday. That was my lasting memory. Like that. That is what I will think about more so than any other moment because I don't know if there's any other player in sports that wouldn't have just deadpanned it the way Kobe did. He didn't blink. Not did he just not flinch. He didn't blink. He didn't have a smidgen of a reaction to a ball getting faked in his face. And literally, Barnes took it as close to the tip of the nose as you possibly could. But anyway, there were points throughout Kobe's career where it leveled up and my respect for him increased. And it just, again, we all felt ourselves with those emotions. And, I mean, I didn't feel more emotional than I did last night. That was the most emotional I've been in 20 years with anything sports. Walter Payton passing away, that was terrible, but it wasn't that. I don't know. The way this happened and the way everything came about and the memorials and the celebrations, there won't be one that gets you the way last night did, because not only was it Shaq, not only was it Dwayne Wade, then came in Jerry West, and he was sharing stories. And then Reggie Miller came in, and I thought Reggie Miller offered some pretty important context. Very similar to, I guess, some of the things that I'm saying in terms of he had a contentious relationship with Kobe. They weren't really friendly, right? I could say that about me and Kobe. Like, obviously, I didn't know Kobe, but I'm saying as a fan or lack of a fan, I was at a contentious relationship with Kobe. But Reggie went into the respect, and he went into kind of talking about why he felt like this had hit us so hard. And he brought up two people, Michael Jackson and Princess Diana. And he just said the suddenness of the way they were taken, the fact that they grew with us from childhood, from a very early age. Okay, maybe not Princess Di. She wasn't a child, but she was very, very young. Mike Jackson obviously was a child when he came on. And Kobe is cut from that same cloth.
You could argue that Kobe Bryant was a child star. He was, 17 when he got drafted?
Yeah.
So that's a baby.
Yeah.
And now, not an adult.
And the similarities were, they were actually more than Reggie thought, because that got me thinking. I had been thinking Princess Di. I actually said to Carlota as I was leaving the building yesterday, I said, it feels like Princess Di. I said, because of the suddenness, the worldwide appeal, the violence at which they left us, the surprise at the way it happened. And I said, and I hadn't said this yet on the air, and Reggie didn't follow up on it, but I think it's important, because I think this is one of those factors that ties into what the feelings, why we're feeling the way we're feeling, right? Think about Princess Di when she passed. William and Harry, they were left. Obviously, the photos from the funeral. There is an element of that with Kobe's family now. Vanessa and the two daughters that are left, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are going to watch them grow in front of our eyes. Like, they now become American royalty, basketball royalty. Now, I don't know if they're going to be in the spotlight. I if they want their privacy, I hope they have it. But the point I'm getting at is the entire nation now is rooting for them. Much in the same way after William and Harry and everything that happened with Di, we lived after them through their children. There's an element of that also. And I think this is more applicable to Michael Jackson, whose children we have, Prince and his daughter. They've remained in relatively shrouded. They haven't really been big in the spotlight. His daughter has been at different times. She has an Instagram page, and she's public, but she doesn't, like, do ad campaigns, really, and, like, make herself out in the forefront of anything. She's kind of like her dad in that regard. She stays reserved. But more so, I started to think about Kobe Bryant, and I go back to the rape accusation and the case in Eagle, Colorado. This is exactly like Michael Jackson. In the sense that after that person passed, and this was a comparison that Reggie didn't draw last night that I think is very important, because immediately we talk about the Washington Post reporter that got suspended for blanket tweeting. For those that don't know, a Washington Post reporter tweeted out right after Kobe died the article about Kobe's rape case. There wasn't context to it. It just felt a little cold-blooded.
It was from the Washington Post, too. It was like.
But it felt cold-blooded. It felt like it was just like, well, here's what I got to say about that. Like, hey, he's dead, but remember this. I mean, it was right after he died. There was no context. Now, we'll get into that in a second. But that reporter from the Washington Post tweeted that out, and she was subsequently suspended, right? That created a firestorm. Adam Hill and Steve were talking about it. Everyone was talking about it. Well, Ed Graney was on the press box yesterday and talked about it, or Monday. It said it should absolutely, the rape case, be mentioned in the obituary because it's a part of his legacy, right? And that's where I go back to Michael Jackson. The battle that we had and are still having after the death of Michael Jackson. Now, I guess they're different. They're different, the cases we're talking about, but they're similar in the sense that if either one of them are true, because neither one of them were true, right? Like Michael Jackson was never proved, not in court, and the same thing with Kobe Bryant. Now, I'm just saying, I know.
There's the statement by Kobe right. that basically...
It basically does it for him. He basically admits to it.
Yes.
Yes.
But...
Essentially, what do you say? That I thought it was consensual, but she didn't, and it was...
If that harms her, I apologize.
Yeah. Not and, great.
Yeah. Not
great.
Not good.
Not but... good. Not good. But, again, we find ourselves after the passing of a legend that, not just a North American legend, but a worldwide legend, someone who touched every corner of the globe, who people have these feelings about, we then get into the talk and the vitriol, which seemingly after these days, of legacy. And this was a really hardline stance that people took, right? Like, there were people that were very emotional after Kobe passed away on both sides. People that felt about survivors and rape accusers, right? Sexual assault accusers. And then the people that are just... We talked about it. Like, Kobe feels like family to so many people. So there are people out there that feel like Kobe was a member of their family. So when he dies and then they see these talks about the sexual assault allegations and that whole case, they lash out. And then the people who are concerned about rape survivors lash out, because then it becomes this, as so much is the story in 2020, right? This very much line in the sand. You're on one side or the other, and then the dialogue... It just doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen because you've made your mind up. And I don't know if there – listen, I'm not trying to solve the world's problems. I don't know if there is a right answer to all this. I'll just say this in terms of the Washington Post reporter that that got suspended. And I'm trying to pull up her name right now because she made a statement. Felicia Sonmez was her name – is her name. I should say. She has been reinstated by the Washington Post, and Sonmez made a statement saying, I believe that the Washington Post readers and employees, including myself, deserve to hear directly from Marty Baron on the newspaper's handling of this matter. He's the editor, executive editor of the Washington Post. He said, Washington Post journalists endeavor to live up to the paper's mission statement, which states the newspaper should tell all the truth so far as it can learn it concerning the important affairs of America and the world. My suspensions and Mr. Barron's January 26 email warning me that my tweets about a matter of public record were, quote, hurting this institution, have unfortunately sown confusion about the depth of management's commitment to this goal. I hope Washington Post newsroom leaders will only prioritize their employees' safety in the face of threats or physical harm, but also ensure that no journalist will be punished for speaking the truth. Okay. I think the issue here was with the way that Sonmez released the article. There was no context.
Yep.
There was no, I know we're mourning today, but remember, there is another part of Kobe Bryant's legacy that I think should be examined. It was just a very cold, like, within the hour of him passing, boom, just a post. Just sharing the article without context, without interpretation, without an understanding of your intent to where you live. Was the intent to do right by journalism and tell the whole story, or was the intent to pile on Kobe Bryant in a time when we didn't even know if his daughter was dead? There were other victims there. It was just a very, very sensitive time. And you have to kind of question the energy that was behind the post. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that I thought of when I started to read this is, how are we going to react when Roman Polanski dies? Like, how is society going to react? Because there is this subset that's like, he's an auteur, he's one of the greatest of all times. And then there's the other group that's yeah. like, yeah, he's a great director, but he raped a child. So can yeah. we? How do we give him a lifetime achievement award while also recognizing?
I think much like Kobe, people have already made their minds up.
Yeah, and that's the part that's yeah. sort of sad, because one thing that you mentioned earlier, the fact that we got to watch him grow up, and it is similar to Michael Jackson that there were phases.
Yeah.
And he reinvented himself, and this final version, or maybe it wasn't even the final version.
Well, the final version that we got as a society, yes.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He made me like him.
Yes.
The retirement of Kobe made me respect Kobe.
Yeah.
I don't think I liked him beforehand. I don't even know I liked him. Let's be honest. I don't even know if I liked him before he died. I think I did. It's so hard for me because it wasn't even like I never was, you know, I was never going to go back and watch a Kobe Bryant game. It would have taken 15, 20 years before I stopped on a channel and was like, oh, there's Kobe playing basketball. Man, it's been a while since I've seen that guy. And look at this legacy. No, I wasn't a fan of his. But now I've watched that final game. Every time I see his face, like, it takes on a completely different meaning of live every moment to the fullest, second acts, what do you do with your time? How do you make amends for mistakes made in the past? Because none of us are perfect. Did we maybe rape people? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But we all make serious, serious mistakes. Lord knows I have. I mean, I think it's the human element. And that is what was so special about the Kobe story and why I think we're feeling this way 3 days removed from it, is because he was so human. And he lived a lot of that humanity unapologetically in the spotlight. Like, after the rape case, he got almost indignant. He was almost like, yeah, if you don't like me, I don't really care. I'm going to cut the throat out of my opponents. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to give her this giant ring and apologize. And remember, go back. I mean, it's 15 years ago. Go back to that time, right? That is a part of Kobe's story. We lived it. Now, we all lived it from different perspectives. But what you can't deny is, if you're a sports fan, I'd be hard-pressed to find a sports fan that on some level wasn't emotionally affected by the passing of Kobe Bryant. So it is wild to see and to dissect, especially in real time, day by day. I can take Monday, Tuesday, and today, and I can tell you how I was feeling and the differences and the things that I thought about and things that I hadn't thought about before. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And it's also crazy to turn on every single program that's live and see them acknowledge Kobe Bryant. Everything.
Yeah.
Late night shows. Take
your Jimmy pick. Fallon got me. I genuinely dislike Jimmy Fallon.
I disliked Jimmy Fallon more than I dislike Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a giggler, so like that's like
that's my thing.
Yeah, like I hate my own brand, but literally I like watching him talk. Like, yeah, I met him when he was a 19-year-old, and I was a 21-year-old. And it's just like, oh, okay, great. Now I'm crying because of Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy Fallon. Appreciate it. But yeah, when Reggie Miller brought up, you know, Princess Di and Michael Jackson, I started thinking about it. It is just like that, but there are even more layers to it. The controversy of Michael Jackson after the passing, living on through their children, American royalty gone. It's just, again, there's going to be more of it. The memorial, now we're hearing that Staples Centers will not be big enough to hold the memorial, so they're talking about the L.A. Coliseum. So you're talking about a potentially 100,000 people at a funeral. You're sitting over there nodding in agreement. Yeah, I mean, this is if this was again American royalty. If this was like a classic, like when Churchill died, or like when a world leader died, and you parade them through the streets and they have a viewing. If they did that, it would be, it would be like Muhammad Ali. Remember when Muhammad Ali went through Louisville?
Yeah.
A few years ago.
See, the thing that I was thinking of, this is to put this into context for like normal like sports fans. You're talking about a fan base that when they got LeBron, more than a plurality of them were like, you'll never be
Kobe. They were defacing LeBron murals in L.A. because they didn't want to acknowledge the passing of the torch between Kobe and LeBron. And really, that passing of the torch didn't start between those two until this year. Really, in the last few months, they were not close. Well, because they were competitors. I mean, yeah. LeBron got drafted in 03, and Kobe was still – I mean, they were competing for championships. And anyone knows the mama mentality and the way Kobe Bryant approached basketball, he didn't have friends.
No.
I mean, yeah, but he
had Pau Gasol, who he barely talked to.
Right. And Shaq, who he kept to the curb. And now he's been friends with Kyrie Irving, and he started becoming a mentor more after playing. But that bond between him and LeBron just started, and it was over the Lakers and their daughters. And, you know, when LeBron said in his – memorial post on Instagram last night or the night before, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I got the shoulders, I'm going to put this on my shoulders, and I'm going to carry on your legacy. I don't think at all he was talking about basketball. First of all, LeBron's legacy in terms of basketball, he just passed him in terms of overall points, and he is going to blow him out of the water in the next 3 or 4 years. He's going to put such a cushion in terms of records and accolades that I don't know if there's a that he can carry a legacy that he's already surpassed. But when he said that legacy, I felt that was absolutely in reference to family, social progress, and the continuation of the things that I think they both felt strongly in. Kobe, anti-Trump. Kobe, very much about his daughters. #girl dad or dad girl. right, which has been going viral for all the dads out there that have daughters, and Kobe was a very proud father of his daughters. That's where that came from, right? So was LeBron. LeBron was at Bronny's game last night. We saw that out there at Sierra Canyon, or, Bronny's High School. But LeBron was out there supporting his kid. That's what he does. He is a great father. Obviously, his influence in Hollywood, the show, the shop that he has on HBO. LeBron James is very much focused about making this world a better place, which I feel like Kobe Bryant was focusing on now that he could put away all the competitiveness and that Mamba mentality that forced him to be a borderline psychopath on the court.
We're, not to be selfish, but we're missing out. Like, we're going to miss out on what could have been. And that's part of it that makes me sort of like...
Yes, it is terrible, but he's going to have two daughters that are going to have his spirit. He has also passed down that spirit to a future of basketball players that have been... You think we're affected by this? Imagine playing against him. Imagine we, idolizing him. We didn't even idolize him. We didn't even like him. And we're we are emotionally invested in this.
Yeah.
So imagine what that messaging and what he did and what he stood for, right? This is going to sound bad, and I just thought about it, but I don't really care. He might be more influential in death than he could have been while he was alive because of the martyr factor, because of the shock of it all, because of the emotion behind it. We don't, and this is all I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there. We don't know what Kobe Bryant's legacy is going to be. It may make LeBron James go even harder. It may make someone else go even harder. Durant hasn't been there. Durant's not a particularly outspoken person in terms of... He can be. He has. Don't take it the wrong way. He has spoken about social issues. But what if he takes it on? He's got $300 million. What if he wants to take that $300 million to Hollywood? What if he wants to open up a production company? What if he wants to focus on the things that he felt important about? What if some of those players that didn't want kids, now they want kids because they saw what it did to Kobe? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what it does to fans. You don't know. So when I say Kobe might be more influential in death than he was in life, that is a possibility. What I'm saying is we don't know. But what we do know is his passing and the emotion behind it and this story is living with everyone. If you were alive on Sunday and of present mind and body, 7, 8 years old or old, I don't know, whatever the hell you want to say, right? This will never be forgotten. This is just one of those moments, one of those weeks, one of those stories that will live forever. All right, I thought we were going to get to more, but we didn't. It's all right.
Yeah.
It happens. Right. What, you want to say something?
No, no. Oh, okay. I was hoping for a lighter day, and I immediately drug you into, I was like, get emotional.
Yeah, I mean, I knew we were going to talk about it, and I think there's a way to not have it be soul-crushingly depressing. I mean, I didn't play the audio. We could play the audio from last night. I didn't want to sit through Shaq.
Oh, no, I did.
Breaking down and shaking
again. I've
seen too
many grown men cry in the last, 48 hours, and that's one of my, good God.
I'm not laughing. It's not nervous. It's just an absurdly emotional week.
Yeah.
You know, and each day is different, and I didn't really talk about Kobe a lot yesterday because it was just a little bit of a buffer, and I wanted, it's just, it's a weird thing to handle, man. We'll never have to do something like this again. But obviously, we'll be talking more throughout Kobe throughout the week. But it is Super Bowl 54 this Sunday, Kansas City Chiefs fans. I saw our own Carlota. She was in the break room a little bit before the show started. She's got her Chiefs jacket on. I asked her, I was like, Carlota, are you nervous? I was like, you confident? How do you feel? And she's like, yeah, no, I'm pretty confident. I was like, you're shaking your head, right? A team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl in 50 years? Yeah, well, that confidence probably hinges a lot on one Pat Mahomes. So what are we going to do? We're going to head out to the phone lines. We're going to join up with our pal Ed Graney. He is live in Miami for Super Bowl 54. We'll be talking to him next.
What kind of fighter is this guy?
Man, he's a beast. I mean, as far as him just starting to come to the game of boxing, man, he has great power, great speed. He's a great athlete. I mean, there's a lot of guys up in there that train with him, that professionals that run with him and do different things, and they can't even keep up with him. I mean, he's on a mission. He's upset right now.
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
Jared trolling me with Jake Paul fight audio. Yes, YouTubers are the pay-per-view stars of today, friends. Jake Paul fighting on DAZN. Coming up soon, I guess. Yeah, screw Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Let's talk about Jake Paul. What is fight sports? Get it together! Get it together. All right, we're getting it together here on the Mac Attack. The Super Bowl is 5 days away. Media Day has been going down. It is in full swing down there in South Florida. The hype is real. The excitement is real. It's palpable. You can feel it. You can almost taste it. Can you taste it, Ed Greeny?
Well, if you can feel it or taste it, you're in a different place in Miami than I am, my friend. First of all, real quick, I understand Jared is hosting the final half hour of the press box tomorrow. Starkus is in with alcohol. I need to know who approved this at very high levels of the organization, because this could go very wrong.
I mean, let's be honest, Ed. I mean, Jared is pretty much in every Thursday for the last half hour anyway. Yes.
Well, sometimes he's in at 6 a.m. and he beats me there, and I'm like, what are you doing here so early? But no, he'll do a fine job. He's a talented young man. But, you know, that's funny. You asked me, we had the Roger Goodell press conference today, and, you know, of course, he was going to praise Miami and loud Miami. But I'm going to write about this later in the week, Ryan. He definitely gave a sense that Las Vegas is getting a Super Bowl. He said it's coming fast.
Yeah.
I actually think in May at the owners' meetings it could be announced 25 or 26. I think they're going to get 25, but... You know, this is Miami's 11th time, and you can feel it, and it's become stale, and it's all spread out. And this, the first time I saw anyone with a jersey on was today, and it was a Tennessee Titans jersey.
What? You found one?
I just, you know, I mean, when someone does it so long, I think they kind of take it for granted. There's really little atmosphere where we're at.
Wow.
It was funny. The Super Bowl live thing, which, you know, is that interaction,
sure.
You know, thing for people, fans to go to, and it's free and to see all the interactive stuff. It was Heidi Hang goes, I was going to go over and shoot some stuff, but it's closed today. I'm like, wait a minute, how's it closed on Super Bowl week? That's what it's about. So I do think they need new cities. I think they're excited about, you know, L.A. We'll see. L.A.'s another. You can do stuff at the Staples in L.A. Live and the Convention Center,
Boo.
But L.A.'s going to be one of those kind of spread out things.
Boo.
I think they're going to love Vegas. I think if Vegas can pull off the draft, like I think we both think they can, then I think in May they will announce a Super Bowl to Vegas. And then they need Vegas to be good. This is on Vegas. This is on the LBCBA. It is on you. They have to pull that draft off to where a Super Bowl is an automatic in the next round, because they do need some new cities in this cycle. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and we'll get multiple, right? Like, if Florida can have 11, we can get, like, 4.
Oh, if they pull it off, because, you know, you want to go west sometimes. So now you have 2 stadiums, and, you know, obviously the L.A. market's enormous. But sure, I mean, they'll get multiples. They'll be in the rotation. They'll kind of be what, you know, San Antonio and Indianapolis are in the Final Four rotations. They're always going to get one every 4 or 5 years. It's just automatic. I actually think Allegiant Stadium is going to get in that rotation eventually for the Final Four. But, Vegas does things well, man. They can pull it off. You can have everything at the Strip and centered around that, and then only go out to Allegiant for the game. You only go on the Super Bowl, you only go to the stadium for the game. But you can do everything around the Strip, and I just think it would be much better if other cities got this. You know, I don't want to make this a huge rip on Miami. I'm just saying I've been to a lot of these, and you get a feel sometimes when it's really amped up and intimate and everyone's excited, and then you get a feel like we have for the last few days, or like, do they even know what's happening? Heidi and I actually are going to go out to South Beach tonight and interview a bunch of people, and I'm interested to see what their response is. Now, maybe they're tourists here for the game, but maybe there's locals saying, we don't care, we always do these.
So if that happens, I mean, if Vegas gets in the rotation, is that the death of Glendale, Phoenix?
I don't know if it's the death, but I think they want other options, especially for Final Fours. You know, Final Fours, there's only one place west of the Mississippi you can do it now, and that's Glendale. So I absolutely think the Legion will get a Final Four, one because of the hotels and the transportation. And, you know, and if they pull off the draft, they won't be as worried about the traffic. So whether it's the death of Glendale, and I'm sure Glendale behind closed doors isn't overly excited because, again, they're one out west that's been getting these huge events and continue to. Yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is kind of, they might not supplant them, but they will be even with them eventually in this rotation. I don't have any doubt about that.
Yeah, I just don't see how you could justify going to a big field in the middle of West Phoenix where there's nothing around it when we have Vegas.
That's the thing. I mean, for Final Fours, you know, you're staying in Phoenix or somewhere,
right,
and you have to go out to the, I mean, it's just not, Final Four Super Bowls, they're the best when you're literally within like a half a mile to a mile each other. And there are situations like that. I think I talked to you and Clay the other day. I mean, if I had my choice, the Final Four would rotate between San Antonio and Indianapolis. There are no better places in the world for Final Fours. You're right in the town. You're within walking distance of everything, and you have a feel for it. Same with Super Bowls. Minnesota did an incredible job with the Mall of America with the Super Bowl. Everything was there. Everything except the game was there. You knew where to go. People were flocking there. The teams actually were brought there for interviews. So you saw the Patriots. You saw the Eagles. You saw these guys. And here, you don't see anything. You go to a team hotel for availability. You're taken inside doors. You're not really taken through where the people or the players are. it's a very weird scene. But you know, I mean, no one's whining about covering the Super Bowl. It's just there are different towns that I think are you know, ready and better fit for huge events.
How much of you being tired of Miami has to do with the humidity?
with what?
How
humidity?
Much, yeah, the humidity.
No, it's been beautiful. Like today was like 80 with like 60% humidity. It's not, you know, there's breeze right now, but you can see the Miami's weird. As you know, like it's completely blue sky, and 6 seconds later you look up and it's nothing but cloudy because
right.
the storm's coming.
Right.
So, you know, it's weird in that way. So it's a little more humid right now because the storm's obviously coming. But I don't have anything against Miami. I just, you know, when you're at a Super Bowl, you kind of want to have that feel, and you just don't have it. You know, things are at the convention center. We're down there every day. You don't really see people. You don't, like I said, I've literally seen one jersey, and it was a Titans jersey. Now, maybe, look, the Super Bowl is also very expensive. So, you know, Thursday, Friday, you could have a lot of people coming into town. And I should also say, obviously, I'm just talking about on the street. Obviously, at Media Day, Monday night, people have jerseys on. I'm just talking about out on the street and where you think people
right,
might
right.
be. You know, I mean, obviously, Media Day, they had jerseys on. But, you know, you just don't get it walking around. But, you know, more people come in Thursday or Friday. It's really expensive to go to a Super Bowl. So maybe, you know, Thursday or Friday, it usually amps up. And, you know, you hope it to. I mean, I don't want it to be like that. You want it to be, you know, exciting and people ready. And the game will be great because that's always great in terms of the fans. I just think Vegas is prime for this. And I do think they'll pull off the draft. It's going to be dicey on the traffic if they can get through that, though. The NFL, that's what Roger Goodell said today. He goes, look, and he was asked by my colleague Vinny Bonsignore from the Review Journal, and he said, look, get through the draft and then talk about the Super Bowl. He goes, but that time is coming fast. And he wasn't even asked that. He kind of offered that, which to me, the discussions have already been going on. If they come in 2025, Allegiant will have been open for 5 years. You've got all the kinks out. Everything is running smoothly. And then I think they get their Super Bowl.
I mean, as we talk about the Super Bowl coming to Vegas, I mean, when it does, obviously the prices are going to be as high or higher than they are in Miami this year. Ed, I wonder, and we've never really had this conversation. I'm of the opinion that there will be a leveling off at some point, like supply and demand. It won't be the whole story. I just think the demand someday, some level. I mean, I'm hearing about, you know, 3,000 get in, 4,000 get in. I mean, we're talking ridiculous prices, Ed. Do you ever see a point in a time in history in sports? You've been around sports a very long time. You are an accomplished veteran sports writer. You're old. Do you think though, Ed, that we will ever see a time where this does kind of level off and the fervor and the insanity dies down a little bit in terms of a cost?
You know, every time Jared says that, I want to say, meet me at the gym and we'll lift. But anyway, I mean, eventually I heard 3,000 or 4,000. I'm like, what, did you see my hotel bill? It's a really, really expensive thing. But no, I don't. And, you know, when we talk about Vegas, one thing about Vegas is going to offer more than anyone is hotel rooms, right?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing about that, though. Yeah, you'd have more options if you really searched, but all these, the media hotel, the team hotel, the fans hotel, they're set rates. The NFL comes in years out and says, okay, you want to be the media hotel? That's fine, but the rate's this. You want to be this hotel? That's fine. Your rate is this. They dictate what happens in those hotels. So while Vegas would be great because you could probably find deals because there's just so many hotels, you probably have to go off the strip, maybe go out to Summerlin or Henderson and go that way and get cheaper rates. I don't know what the leveling off period is, Ryan. I think this thing is going to get bigger and bigger. And with the TV, you know, they're about to do their new TV contract. They're about to do the new CBA. It's just so expensive to get into these things. And I don't know what the tipping point is. I mean, they sold this out very fast. I'm sure it'll be sold out on Sunday. There'll be a crowd there. I know what they're all paying to get in. I see many fans. I'm in the media hotel, but it's obviously not all media. That's another point. If your city doesn't have a team anymore, if you're not like a national person with ESPN or Yahoo, you know this as well as anyone. You know, when I went to Super Bowls 10 years ago, there was twice as much media as there is now.
Yeah.
You know, because of what's happened to papers and stuff like that. So in media hotels, you get media, but you also get a lot of fans. Well, this place is sold out. So someone's paying, you know, a pretty hefty rate because I know what the rate is. So, yeah, it's a great point. I just don't know if it will, man. I think people will pay. Look at the Allegiant Stadium and said, oh, I don't want the Raiders. I don't want the Raiders. That's fine, but somebody does because they're sold out. So, you know, I mean, someone has the money to do it. It's not me. It's not you. It might be Jared. But, you know, it's someone's paying for Allegiant Stadium for all those boxes and those PSLs. I don't know who they are. Good for them.
Well.
Steph is one because she's rich. But, I think these things are huge events, and they charge what they know they can get. So the NFL is not coming in and saying, well, for a hotel room, we're going 600 instead of 300. No, because at that price point of 300, they've been told by their research, hey, people are going to pay this. And they just make a fortune, man. They make so much money off these things, it's ridiculous.
Well, all right, Ed, it's crunch time now. We're here with Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He is down in Miami for Super Bowl 54. Well, the all-time record, Ed, NFC leads 27-26. If KC wins on Sunday, they will even up the all-time record for Super Bowls at 27 apiece. Who's going to get it done?
You know what, man? I mean, I have to go with Pat Mahomes because I just like how he plays so much. And I saw him here this week, and he's so relaxed for a kid, and I think he's so confident and believes in himself so much, and I just think they're going to find a way. Reed's had 2 weeks. I agree about Kyle Shanahan as a play caller.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be able to run the ball, which, you know, the way they run the ball in the NFC, that's a little, in the NFC Championships, it's a little fool's gold. Now, I say that, and tomorrow morning, Heidi and I are getting up at 5 a.m. to drive 4 hours to Raheem Mostert's hometown. So, you know, to write the column about, is this a one-hit wonder? Was the NFC Championship game? Was he a one-hit wonder? He's not going to go for 2-plus in the Super Bowl. If he could, you know, if he can, good for him. But I just think Andy Reid finds a way through Mahomes. I think Mahomes is so good. And I'm writing a column also this week on the Raiders. And, you know, as you build this team for the Raiders, there is one guy you're looking at. And Mark Davis told me this today. There's only one person you're looking at, and that's Pat Mahomes. You have to now build your team in that division to beat Pat Mahomes. You have to, because if he continues like this, they're just going to keep winning it. So those were really good, really, really pointed quotes I'll have in the paper later from Mark Davis. He did not hold back, man. He said, we have to be better. And he reeled off like 10 spots. And
wow.
He goes, that guy is a monster. And if we don't deal with him, then, you know, the best you can hope for is a wild card.
Well, there you go. The words from Ed Graney. Keep a lookout for those stories in the Review Journal. Ed, buddy, we really appreciate it, all right? Enjoy
Jared,
that game.
Yeah, I want Jared with me 4 times next week. We'll go with the 6-mile treadmill run, and then we're going to lift. And then when we walk out, Ryan, I want you to tell me who's old, my friend.
You've upset Ed, Jared. Look what you've done.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
What were you going to say, Jared?
I was going to say, how about instead of doing all of that, we both just get out our driver's licenses and look at the birth dates.
You're such an ass.
I know.
We're going to be back with the ass and Mac here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack.
49ers have landed!
With Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
You're an idiot.
Miami.
I got to. Oh, is it?
Have you never, dude? 2 Live Crew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. We played Paris Hilton in the last rejoin. All right, I appreciate that.
Well, it's either that or Big Willie style.
See, that would have been too predictable. I feel like everyone's using Will Smith this weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
no,
I went with
go 2 Live Crew. You know what? Damn it.
And it was very, very difficult to find a version that wasn't.
Well, right. Find an edited version. I'm going to need Trick Daddy tomorrow.
Not a problem.
All right.
That is super doable.
Any other Miami staples we're forgetting?
Pitbull?
Yeah.
Flowrider?
We could be doing the Bad Boys soundtrack. Also, use a couple songs from the new Muevalo. Use that. The new... who's that guy? Who's the guy that does that song? No, there's this.
This is called Researching While on the Air.
Well, I mean, you know, Nicky Jam.
Okay.
That's his name. He's like a reggaeton guy. Use him.
Okay.
The Bad Boys soundtrack and Trick Daddy. I'm going to get the most out of this before you take off after tomorrow. And then Magnum's back, and we'll find out about his adventures in Japan. Actually, no, we won't. No one cares.
Oh, well, I mean, also, he'll be back if he's not quarantined.
Oh, that's right. Coronavirus.
Did you see the thing that said
it might be here in Vegas?
Well, that too, but also Corona beer virus was trending.
I did see that. Like, people are dumb. I'd just like to think it was like, I'd like to think it was like autofill on the search bar. The people were typing coronavirus and it was Corona beer, and you hit enter and you didn't realize that you had to back up. I'd like to think that people aren't that stupid to think that a virus that is killing people is you know, linked to light
beer.
Yeah, Mexican beer. That's just not the case. Also, I understand people are freaking out, but like 250,000 people died in America from the flu last year.
100 people in China, which is basically like what, one half of
a household?
Yeah, like that's
what apartment?
They've got how many billion and 100 have died? I think they've got this under control.
And I don't want to sell it short.
Oh,
because
no.
People are dying. But again, 250,000 people died from the flu last year, and we joke about the flu all the time.
I lived in New York City during the swine flu epidemic.
Oh, so the swine flu. Think about all the great epidemic fears we've had.
Yeah.
Ebola, swine flu, bird flu. Now we got bat flu. That's what this is. We're not saying it's bat flu, but why, you know what?
Why wouldn't you say
exactly?
Bat flu?
We got swine flu and we had bird flu. This is snake flu, bat flu. Maybe it's the fact that we don't know where to give credit. Maybe that's the snakes and the bats don't want to split.
That or some kid is just going to be like, eh, I'm not a big pig or, you know, bird fan. Oh, my God, I can be a bat snake.
stay safe out there, Vegas. Coronavirus might or might not be here. We're not really sure. There was a report last night from a Twitter account that said it was, and then they took it back and was like, well, we'll wait. It's the for right now, we're safe. You can, although all the gas masks and safety things are sold out on Amazon. I looked. I said on social media last night, is the apocalypse here? Yeah, maybe. But at least we're going to look badass when it comes. And I posted the picture of the gas mask. I mean, we're all going to look like Bane. Bane,
yeah.
If you're not a Batman fan, I know you are. I don't need to explain that to you, but...
Someone in the audience may not.
Who the hell's Bane? Bane's a guy that had a voice box and it was like super cool looking. And now we're all going to look like that because we're going to be walking around with masks. Speaking of super cool, Allen Iverson, yesterday we talked about a story, $500,000 taken out of, or $500,000 of jewelry stolen in a book bag of his. Yeah. He's got it back. Police are saying a 21-year-old male has turned himself in after a backpack belonging to Allen Iverson that contained $500,000 worth of jewelry was stolen. They are withholding his name because he hasn't been formally charged. Well, this is exactly what we said yesterday on the show. It was someone he knew.
Oh, see? I was thinking it was some kid who stole a backpack, and then he was like, dude, I found this backpack with all this jewelry, and then he got online and he went, oh, it's AI's?
Also, this is just good protocol for anyone who finds a bag worth $500,000 of whether it be jewelry, drugs, money, cash, hard currency, whatever the case may be. If you find it, probably best to leave it alone. Unless you're really, really sure. Maybe if you're on vacation and you're going like 10 states away in the next few hours after you find that bag, all right. Like if you find $500,000 in cash, I'm not going to say I'm going to turn it in right away. But I would be very scared.
I would definitely probably at least do a couple of the Dumb and Dumber IOUs. But for the most part, I know for a fact if you find that amount of money, that guy's coming with a gun to get it.
That's a big one, sir. You might want to hold on to that one. That's a Lamborghini.
Oh, man. All right. What's going on with Lyft?
Oh, all right. I was going to save it for tomorrow. Because,
oh, okay.
No, right, no. No, this is good. Because you're right. And you give me a nice natural segue. It is a good way to end the show. You know how I am about robots on this show.
God, he's afraid of them.
I am afraid of them. I'm afraid of autonomous cars getting hacked and sending me off the Grand Canyon. I'm terrified of just everyone being able to listen and view. I mean, we're entering, you know, Orson Welles territory. Like, this is very, it's very eerie. But I am also a sucker for a deal. I am a mercenary. I have no moral compass. And there is a report out that Uber self-driving cars are about to launch, and they're going to be launching in places where the weather is predictable and it is not in flux. So you can basically guarantee – oh, where the demand is high also. You can basically guarantee that Las Vegas is going to be one of the first cities to roll out these new autonomous Lyfts and Ubers. Well, obviously I would be against that, a bunch of self-driving robots on the streets, and that doesn't sound great to me, and more chances to be hacked. However, this is a large however, Jared Justice. The vehicles, when they take over, which is soon, the cost of a ride could fall by 80% overnight. If you drop the price of a Lyft by 80%, I'm going to sell my car, and I am forever letting a robot drive me around Las Vegas. Jared, it's 80%. 80% is 80%.
I would be so inebriated all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would just be like...
And think about how great those tips would be. Everyone would be so much more faded, and you're saving so much... Well, we can't... Do you tip a robot? Probably not. I'm not going to tip a robot. You're going to hurt their feelings?
What?
Yeah, you can't... No, I'm saying you can't. Robots don't have feelings.
You lost me.
If anything, I'll take some change out of their change drawer. I'll get that money back from the robots. That's right. The war is on, you suckers. We'll see you tomorrow, friends. AJ Hawk, Super Bowl champ, going to be on the show tomorrow. Forgot to mention that. See you then.
This report is brought to you by Managed Pay, your local source for HR assistance and more. ManagedPay.com.
Crash on US 95.